Now may we look at the glad tidings of our Lord's resurrection. Acts chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was the foundation upon which the whole gospel of redeeming grace was built. So that our Lord himself directed the disciples as the evidence of his messiahship. And there are recorded about 10 of his appearances in the resurrection, so that his disciples could testify of it with full assurance. Certain ones were chosen by him for the very purpose of bearing witness to his wondrous and triumphant resurrection. And because Paul had not that advantage, he was favored with a vision that he too, as an apostle, might be able to testify of our Lord's resurrection from ocular demonstration. He had seen the Lord in his risen life. Now, Paul here speaks of the resurrection, first of all, as an accomplishment of prophecy, the promise and the prediction quoted by the apostle in the verses which I read, is from the second Psalm. That second Psalm declares the triumph of our Lord over all his enemies, and his resurrection is demonstrated and proved by his consequent exaltation to the right hand of God. It was said in the second Psalm that on that day of resurrection, he was begotten, because he was then formed anew, as it were, from the earth. His body was raised a resurrection body. Now, many other Old Testament prophecies predict the same truth of our Lord's resurrection. Sometimes it was exhibited in types, as, for instance, Isaac being laid on the altar and brought to the place of death, as it were, by his own father, and then received again from the dead as a figure. Hebrews 11 and verse 19. Jonah was raised again on the third day from the belly of a fish. Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40, which is also a type of our Lord's resurrection. The living bird was let loose after having been dipped in the blood of the bird that had been slain, representing our Lord as ascending into heaven with his own blood. Leviticus 14 and verse 51, 53, with Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. So that the resurrection is spoken of in these verses as an accomplishment of prophecy. But also the resurrection is spoken of in these same verses as glad tidings for our souls. To the disconsolate disciples, the glad tidings of our Lord's resurrection were doubtless exceeding joyful, and they ought to be no less to us. That event of resurrection ascertains first of all, the virtue of our Lord's sacrifice. Had he not risen from the dead, then his death had been in vain, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 14, 17, and 18. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. We could have had no evidence that our debt was discharged if our surety, Christ, had not been liberated from the prison of the grave. But his resurrection clearly proved that the Lord Jesus had satisfied the demands of law and justice and met every claim of law and justice, and therefore gives all believers ground for an assured hope and triumphant exaltation. Romans 4:25 and 8:34. Also, the resurrection, we see the resurrection as glad tidings in the sufficiency, his sufficiency for our help. If he were still dead, it would be in vain to look to him for help, would it not? But when he had raised up himself, which he did according to his own word in John 10, and verses 17 and 18, and spoiled all principalities and powers of hell, as we are told in Colossians 2 and 15, where it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that is, in the cross. And having been exalted, that he might be a prince and a savior to give repentance in Israel, to Israel and the remission of sins, Acts 5 and 31, what may we not expect at his hand? Since he did all this on our behalf, I say, what may we not expect at his hand? Surely he is declared thereby to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1 and verse 4, and to be able to save us to the uttermost, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Oh, that we knew him better, and that we should the better strive to know him better in the power of his resurrection, as Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, then nothing should be impossible to us, as we are told in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And this glad tidings also gives us the certainty of our resurrection. Our resurrection depended altogether on his resurrection. If he had not risen, neither should we have risen. But because he arose, we shall rise also. Christ is the first fruit, which it sanctified and set apart, assured also of the whole harvest yet in the field. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. He is our forerunner, who is gone before us into heaven to prepare a place for us. He guards that inheritance. He has the key to that inheritance, and will come again to raise us up to the possession of that inheritance. Hebrews 6 and verse 20, John 14, verses 2 and 3. We therefore may consider death and the grave as vanquished for us, and look forward to the complete triumph which we ourselves shall have over death and the grave. Because he lives, we are fully assured that we shall live also. John 14 and verse 19. This text shows how inspired were the scriptures of the Old Testament. And let us use this event of our Lord's resurrection for our improvement. In the Old Testament are promises of which we receive the accomplishment. The Word of God is not of private interpretation. We are told in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, as though it belonged only to this nation or that nation, or this individual or that individual. Many Old Testament scriptures doubtless had a peculiar reference to those to whom they were spoken. But no promise has an exclusive reference. All the promises are yea and amen in Christ. We can embrace the promise of God given in ancient times, as you see if you will compare John chapter 1 and verse 5 and Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. We can expect the fulfillment of God's promises to our souls, no matter where those promises are. They are given to all of us. There is no exclusive reference to any one people. It is sad indeed that men are enemies to themselves who despise such glad tidings as we have in the gospel. Indeed, there are many who are almost ready to say with the devil, "We beseech thee, torment us not." Matthew 8:29, Luke 8:28. They look upon faithful servants of God, as Ahab did the prophets, troublers of Israel. 1 Kings 18:17. But the ministry given us and entrusted to us is to declare good tidings, to proclaim a crucified, risen, and exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of his atoning sacrifice. Think of his triumphant resurrection. And see whether these great events do not afford us matter for eternal praise and rejoicing. Also, you notice in these glad tidings what a near relation subsists between believers of all ages. We are to sit down with the patriarchs and prophets of old in the kingdom of our God. And while it would appear that believers in the New Testament have a privileged position and a special relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we can still look upon the prophets and patriarchs of old as in some way united to the same Lord Jesus Christ and heirs of the same glory. Matthew 8 and verse 11, Luke 13 and verse 28. Oh, may we embrace all believers of all ages as men and women who love the same Lord Jesus Christ. God grant it for his name's sake. Amen. Now shall we listen to words selected? And I do not know the author, but they are beautiful words. O risen Lord, God's deep delight thou dost not taste alone. In thee we tread those radiant heights and know thy bliss our own. We share in glory far above this scene that sense can see, the sweetness of the Father's love in unison with thee. By faith we see thee, glory crowned, ourselves in thee through grace. By faith we rest where thou art throned, and gaze upon thy face. The fullness of thy joy we share, ours now forevermore. Our need, ourselves, forgotten there. Thee, Lord, our hearts adore. One spirit with thee, glorious Lord, our praise to thee is sweet, as to thy heart the love that pours, the ointment on thy feet. Amen and amen.